Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. You know, we use a lot of different analogies to talk to you about your leadership because there's just so many different facets of the leader's life that are important. And Greg, one of the things that I don't think we've ever touched on this before is the idea of a leader as a gardener, cultivating the environment, creating the environment. And I was talking to my wife about this, and so she's kind of rolling her eyes a little bit because you know how some people have a green thumb. Betsy and I both have like black thumbs. Like if you want us to kill a plant, just give it to us. You know, it's,
can you watch it for a day?
Okay.
I don't know if we can make it for a day.
I think the only one that we've had that has survived, it hasn't been a cactus, has been literally a plant that's called an air plant that it pulls the moisture out of the air. And every once in a while you pull it out and put it upside down in some water and then you put it back in there.
That's it.
And then those we can do what
that doesn't count.
But leaders do have to, you know, I mean, we use the terminology a lot about growing your team. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of lends itself towards the idea of
it's a good stretch.
A gardener, that sort of thing.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
But think about when the seed goes in the ground, the seed pretty much has everything that it needs to grow, mm-hmm. except for just a little bit of tweaking. And really what the gardener's trying to do is, I think you can grow. Let me just get the things out of the way that's going to keep you from growing. And that's, I think, the assumption that we need to really work on as leaders is, hey, that person right there, they can probably grow. What do I need to get out of the way for them to grow? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, first of all, you know, what would, if we kind of stick with the gardening analogy, what kind of leader is putting a seed in the ground and then pulling it back up to see how it's doing and then putting it back in the ground?
Impatient one, yeah. OCD maybe.
Yeah.
Like, is it working? Am I doing the right thing? Like every you know, sunrise, you're like, okay, maybe I'll see if there's any root system. Right. And then, of course, the roots are like, I'm just trying to get connected here, and you keep janking me out of this freaking right. dirt. I'm in big trouble now.
I know it.
I think there's a lot of ways to play this gardener, develop other people. You've done awesome with that because you see something in somebody, and you kind of just work with that. You know, it's you're really good at communicating, or you're really good at problem solving. Oh, it just makes me so nervous. Well, what do you think we should do here? And then you let them do it. And they're like, yeah, I guess I am. The aha, you've had a lot of those with people that you picked and found, mm-hmm. right? What do you think it is that people need most from the gardener?
Well, I think it has to start with the belief, you know, okay. So like going back to that, what I just said to you about putting the seed in the ground, I believe that the roots are growing. I believe that the sprout is coming. I might not see anything above the surface yet, but I believe that it's there. Right. I think that brings so much out of somebody when they realize, wow, that person believes in me.
Yeah.
And then you can really start to see some flourishing. It's when, you know, you kind of got that leader that's sitting there like looking at him like, okay, how are you going to mess up this time? Mm-hmm. Do you need me to step in to help you with this thing? And that's like digging the seed up again.
Did you know who I used to when I'm just,
you know, when you say, do you need my help on here? That's like digging the seed up to look at it and say, hey, dude, what can I do to help you?
Right.
I can't do anything to make that seed. It's gonna do its thing. Mm-hmm. The root's gonna go. The sprout's gonna come up. I have to believe that that's going to take place. I can't keep like stepping in. Hey, what about this? Are you doing mm-hmm. this? Or, you know, let them grow.
What if the person doesn't have the same belief that you do in them?
Yeah. That's I found that a lot.
You did.
Yeah. there's a lot of people.
Don't say the name. Don't say the name.
A lot of people that, you know, I believe, I don't think I can. No, I really mm-hmm. think that you can't know it. And that's why I learned to ask the question, will they grow? And can they grow? And the can they grow is really, I see the potential in there, but will they? will they even get out of their own way? Mm-hmm. Will they believe what I'm imparting into them and pouring into them? Will they believe that? Will they begin to like, oh yeah, okay. That's the hard part to ascertain right up front.
Yeah,
a lot of times you can see the latent talent there, but then like, are they going to get out of their own way to grow? That's the hard part that you might not know until you start on the journey with them.
I think there's a combo that you're hitting the nail on the head for. Confidence and then some competency.
Yeah.
Without confidence, you're probably not going to play to the competency that God gave you,
yep.
how he made you, how he created you, and put you in situations that you need to use your competency.
Yep.
So maybe that's part of the gardener's job, is to have the confidence that they have the right seed, they have the right environment and conditions, and then let.
Yep.
Because we've used this analogy in a prior episode about a chrysalis and a butterfly. If you help the butterfly out, they won't. Yep. Their muscles and their wings will not sustain them, and they won't be able to fly. That's kind of like picking the seed.
Yeah.
You know, like I just want to make sure you're growing. Oh, sorry, I broke a couple roots.
Right.
Well, now I got to do it again, you know.
Yep.
How do we balance? Because I think some want to teach the competency, the habits, the skills. I want to make sure you got the skills. But if they don't have the confidence, are you really a gardener?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, if you don't believe it.
Right. So I wonder how, for all of us as leaders, how do we ascertain how much confidence to really rally and show them, and then patience on the competency development? Because you can't really take credit for them. We didn't make them.
Right.
You know, we got them on our team. It's beautiful. And then let's see them grow. What do you think the hang up is for some leaders who maybe, you know, want to see the growth earlier, or different type of growth? Or
sure.
What do you think?
Well, I know for me, it's been kind of like I want them to catch up to me in my speed, but then I have to keep reminding myself, well, wait a minute. When I was at that spot in my journey, I was moving at that speed that they're moving at right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of like if you were learning math and you moved on to the next level, you went from algebra to geometry, and then you're talking with somebody who's just starting with algebra, and you're like, come on, why don't you have this yet?
Yeah.
Well, because they don't have it yet. They haven't had the opportunity. So you're going to bring it out of them, and you have to say, all right, is there some things I can do? And that's why I said before, I think that the gardener sometimes just has to get out of the way. Or say, let me give you what I wish that I would have had during that time, or what was helpful for me at that time. But then I'm just going to let you grow with that.
Yeah. I think immediate gratification, immediate measurement is a challenge. I think our phones kind of taught us that. Like, you know, when I grew up, my parents got me, you know, world book encyclopedias, and we thought that was the cat's meow. And then you start reading 300-400 pages of things, you're like, I'm not gonna remember nothing. But you had to find it, right?
Right.
We just would sit there and go through it all. Now you go on the phone and you want to find out, when is this golf event? That's an interesting musical. You have it right at your fingertips. Yep. And I think that plays to the demise of us in leadership, where we kind of want to grab the phone and say, so how is Craig doing?
Yeah, well, and that's the hard part. Like with in manufacturing, I can look at, okay, here's the stuff coming off my assembly line.
Yeah.
And we're doing it really efficiently. How do you do that with people? Like, you can't look something up. How is this person doing? And so it is really hard to like, how do you? Yeah, I'm looking for a handle. I'm looking for how do I measure this? And with the growth of people, it really is. I know some people say, well, that's a soft skill. Sure, it is, in the fact that you can't physically count it. Like, how do you say to somebody their level of competency went up 3.7% over the last quarter?
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that with my investment went up. The amount of widgets that we cranked out.
What I can lift or run.
But with people, it's hard. And I think that that's the other reason why we get a little antsy about it is that we're like, I'm looking for some way to absolutely measure, you know, that you've grown some.
You use the analogy of manufacturing. So you can, you know, turn up the crank on the machine and all of a sudden it starts to shake a little bit. And they're like, these products are falling off the conveyor belt. We're going too fast. Right. How do we know that with people?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, you got to kind of watch that, that look in their eyes, you know, that deer in the headlights, like, you know, or that thing where you're talking to them and the blank look on their face where they're like, I have no idea what you're saying to me right now. So it's got to be a little bit of that. I like the Apostle Paul at near the end of his letter to the church at Rome. I like this take. So this is, if you want to look it up in Romans chapter 15. He says, I'm fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are, this is the belief that he has in them, that you're full of goodness. You know these things so well that you can teach each other all about them. Okay, so there's his confidence. But then he says, even so, I've been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. And I love that belief that he has in the people, like, you are really good at this, but let me just step in here just to remind you of something. Let me encourage you. Let me just tweak something here, but I want to stay out of the way and let you grow because I know that you can do it. But you go back, now that's chapter 15 of a 16 chapter book. The previous 14 chapters are a lot of reminders. Let me remind you. Here's what we need to know. I think that's what we need to do as leaders is like, let me give you the stuff that you need to grow. I believe that you can receive it. Where do I need to step in to help remind you of this, but not rush them through the process?
I wonder for those who have been encouraged, like Paul speaking of in the Bible, there's a belief system that sort of sets an expectation, right? Like, well, he believes I can do this, so maybe I can.
Yep.
Versus, hey, you guys figure it out. That's a little scarier for the seed, right? The gardener's like, well, I still got to make sure you're growing. I'm doing the right things. How do we go from the belief to maybe understanding our seed, people?
Well, let me ask you this way. Have you ever been around somebody who, even though they said the words to you, you knew that they didn't really think very highly of you? You can say, even though their words were like, Greg, you, man, what a solid guy. So glad to have you on our team. Boy, I don't know how we do it without you.
You're like,
but you're sitting there looking at him going, those are all lies. Cause I know you don't really think that about me. I think that that's where it has to start, is in a leader's heart. Like, is this like what Paul said here? I'm fully convinced.
Sincere.
Right. Do I really honestly believe that about my people? Yeah. Or am I like sitting there going, all right, I guess I got to go, you know, deal with these numbskulls again. You know, if that's what your attitude is, I promise you that the people are going to hear that. Yeah. But even if you're not super eloquent with your words, if you are sincerely believing the best for those people, I think that that comes through and they naturally will gravitate to you. And like you said, they'll begin to believe it. Wow, he said that about me?
Mm-hmm.
And I know he really cares about me. I don't think that he's saying that just to say it. He must really believe it.
I have been around a person who was in a leadership role who would say things publicly. But then privately, you're like, he really didn't believe what he doesn't believe in me.
Right.
Or he doesn't believe we're going to get this done. Or he doubts. Or he's a negative Nelly, whatever. But publicly, you know, you get him behind the lectern and the microphone and they're talking big.
Yeah.
But is it real?
Yeah.
And I think that's where we get caught as leaders. Like, you better be consistent.
Yep.
You know, where you give them something simple and you're, you know, that's good. Good job.
Yeah.
Give them something hard. You're like, well, let's see if he can do this one.
Right.
And that's not fair. But I think the public versus the private. So one-on-one, how do you do that as a leader, making sure they match or they jive together? So publicly we can say things, whether it's a memo to a bunch of people in our organization,
right,
and then one-on-one, does it match?
Right.
How do we do that?
Well, I'm gonna quote you that when in a upcoming book that you have, I don't know, can we say the title yet?
Sure.
Okay, so so we've got you've got a sales book coming out, and I don't know if I want to give away all of the title and everything.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
It's a really good book, so just stay tuned here. But one of the things that you talked about in the book is working with your team, that when there was bad news or there was something coming down, that you said, I'm going to stand out front and I'm going to take this. Hmm. And when there was praise to come towards your team, you said, I'm going to stand in the back and let the team get the praise.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
High five on that one.
I think the challenge for leaders might be what's their capacity? How are they doing? You know, are they weary? Are they stressed? Are they, you know, but I think for when something happens good, and the team was a part of it, not playing games, but if the team was a part of it, they should receive that call, right, or they should get that gift, or they should, you know, receive that thank you note that someone sent me, but that's not really, it's for the team.
Right.
And if there's a problem, you know, something you got to fix, maybe a issue that you got to deal with, it's not going to be very fun. You don't delegate that to other people. You do it yourself.
Right.
This is your team. You know, you put the shield on and go into battle.
Yep.
That's just how I did it for, you know, a long time. And I think my teammates appreciated it.
Yes.
And they got the kudos, you know, directly from, I said, don't tell me, client. I want you to call my teammate who helped me do this.
Yep.
And they're like, really? I said, well, you can have access to them. They access you for help.
Right.
And it really does make a difference, Craig. I think you've done that well in different positions, you know, God's put you in where you knew something a little more about that person,
right,
you know, and then you're like, I think they can do the public addressment. They can write the memo to the, you know, the families, or they can do this to the clients. Mm-hmm. And you give them permission to shine.
Well, and I think one of the things that really helps too is when the praise, I want that to be public. I'm going to praise one of my teammates in front of their peers.
Love that.
But if I have to address something with them, I got to polish the silver a little bit. I got to remind them of something. I'm going to do that one-on-one.
Yep.
Nobody else needs to be around for that. I've got one leader that I've done some work with that she has a tendency to, if she wants to address something that needs to be taken care of with like one or two of the people on the team, she waits until a staff meeting and addresses the whole team as though all of the people on the team are doing it. But everybody in the room knows the two or three that are the real culprits, except for what happens to everybody else in the room as they feel about this big. Even though, like, I might not be the one that right. was the culprit, the fact that the leader's standing up there telling me, all of you people need to be aware of this, I'm sitting there going, oh, man. You know, so I think we got to be very careful about that, because that is definitely putting something in the way of the seed being able to grow.
That's an obstacle.
Yeah. You know, so we have to say, all right, listen, like Paul said in that part that I just read, I believe that you can grow, but there are some things that I just need to remind you of. You already know these. Let me just remind you of them. And I have a hunch that, you know, because we know some of the letters in the Bible that Paul wrote to the whole church, and some of them that he just wrote to individuals. And the ones in the individuals, he gets a little bit more specific on some of the things, because he's writing just to that one person. Hey, and he'll even tell them in that letter, man, you are such a stand-up person. You're such a stand-up guy. You've been there for me. Mm-hmm. But I need to point something out to you. And he gets into it a little bit more. That's, I think, where the leader really has to start with themselves of saying, okay, is this the right place for me to address this? Is the right time for me to address this? Does this even need to be addressed
right.
like this? Or is there a different way to do it? But have the guts to do it one-on-one if you need to, not standing up in front of the you know, the whole group when nobody has a chance for any feedback.
True.
You know, or trying to explain themselves, or even saying, oh, I didn't even know that I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you've made everybody on the team, you've diminished all of them.
What is one habit, maybe not the best one, for the gardener to avoid suppressing confidence in other people who really aren't part of the point? So it could be a passive aggressive, or, you know, just like a blanket statement. What should we do as a leader in making sure we don't fall in that trap of you know, just everyone runs laps because, you know, one person was late for practice kind of a thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
have you done that?
I have been late to practice, and my teammates weren't super with me, but I would say more often it was other people. I'm like, oh, I'm not out of shape.
Yeah.
So coaches have variety of gardeners. I know. Variety. So one of my coaches actually was like, all right, the whole team runs while the person who messed up watches it.
Oh.
That was tough.
Yeah.
And that guy was like, no, I'll run. How do we make those decisions, Craig, when, you know, we want to communicate kind of a blanket statement, but we right. know it's really one or two. How do we avoid taking air out of the room for everybody else?
Well, one of the things that has worked really well for me is when I identify somebody who is a leader in training, has a real potential, is I get with them and I kind of, like I said earlier, I hinted at this, I asked the question, do you want to take this journey?
Yeah, that's good.
Do you want to right. Mm-hmm. And if they say, you know, I'd really rather not, okay, that's great. And so then I know.
Yeah.
But if they say, yeah, I'd like to do this. Okay. Where do you see yourself needing growth?
Yeah.
What do you see?
Yeah.
Because then if I can start with the spots that they've already identified, then when we get to a spot where I say, well, now I've seen something, mm-hmm. I hopefully have built up enough rapport with them at that time that they'll say, you know what, you've already been with me dealing with some of these other things, so I trust you right. not to deal with this, because it's not pleasant to sit right. down with somebody and say, there's some weeds in your life that we need to pull these things out so that you can, you yeah. know, you are sabotaging your own growth here.
Last question, and then I'm going to give a quote here, but do you have one obstacle that you find to be most common with gardeners as we lead?
I think it's kind of what we already hit on, is that there's gardening is not like a factory where, you know, where you just like, we do X and Y and Z comes out. It doesn't work that way with people. It doesn't work that way with plants. You're gonna have to like individualize your care. This plant needs a little bit more fertilizer. This one needs a little more water. This one needs a little more sunlight. This one needs a little bit of weeding. It has to be individualized. And as leaders, if you're just looking for like, all right, I got my spreadsheet laid out here in my computer, and I want to know how to click the boxes and just move through this process, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to grow people that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah. I think for gardening, developing, either enabling or growing with them, it's as much art as science.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I think that gives us leaders permission.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be trial and error. What worked for Billy maybe doesn't work for Mary, and that's
probably
okay.
won't. Yeah.
And getting back to your checklist, your punch list, I think that's one of the challenges with leaders is I have so many people, I just want to put them all on the same rack and a review. Okay, they're a 97 power on this Nintendo football game, and well, they're a 63 in speed. We kind of want to do that. And a little bit of the challenge for you as a leader of a church, discipleship is hard to measure too.
Yeah.
And that's really, to use a biblical word, that's what we're doing in the real world is we're discipling emerging leaders, current leaders, excelling leaders, and discipling is hard to measure. Yeah. I think that's what we're kind of getting. So like, oh, my muscle got bigger because I upgraded to my next dumbbell and now you can see it.
Right.
And that's the hard part with a gardener. You can't see it.
Yeah, sure.
The bigger the obstacle, the bigger the reward for overcoming the obstacle. And I think that's my quote, by the way. No one's going to believe it. But I think that's our challenge, is obstacles are to become or overcome. That's just what it is. The obstacle is not to be permanent, whether it's a mountain. We got a lot of Bible verses that say move the mountain.
And, right.
But how do we get to that place, Craig, where maybe the persistence, the willingness to kind of dig in and say, no, I'm not going to let this obstacle beat me in finishing. What would you say to other leaders? How do we help a person get through the obstacle and not avoid it?
Right. Well, I think that it has to be that I am committed to see this thing through regardless of what happens here.
Got it.
And And that means that there might be some setbacks. You know, I remember a friend of mine that he works with a in a program that it's a residency program for people that are dealing with life controlling issues. And he says, I had to come to realize that two steps forward and one step back was still one step forward. And, you know, but that's not what we want to see as leaders. No. Sometimes we just want to go two steps forward, five steps forward, 10 steps forward.
Don't
go
back.
That's what I want to see. No retreat, you know, no regression. Just keep on going. But that's not what really happens in real life. And I have to be committed to that. And I'm going to ride it through. And you know, that's one of the things that maybe we can help you with in coaching. You know, we talk a lot about how maximized leaders can come in and help you in a coaching area. But maybe where we could help you is by coming in and sitting down with you and helping you do an evaluation of your teammates. Which ones need a little bit more fertilizer? Which ones need some weeds pulled? Which ones need the extra attention? That's the kind of coaching services that we want to provide for you. So if you go to maximizeleadership.com, click on the tab that talks about coaching. You'll see some of our coaches there, but especially at the bottom of the page, you can fill out the form and say, here's where I'm looking for some help. Here's where I'm looking for some coaching. Maybe it's not for you specifically, but for other people on your team. We'll read that. We'll get back in touch with you. We might connect you with one of our coaches, or we might say, here's another resource for you. It's not going to cost you anything for us to sit down with you and figure out what we might be able to do for you or who we might be able to connect you with. Because we want you to excel in your leadership. Mm. Because if you do, if you get better, the people around you get better. And when that starts happening here and there and everywhere, pretty soon we begin to make a change in all of our society for the better. So that's why we bring you these resources. That's why we want to be available for you. So please, if you haven't already, subscribe and click the bell so you're notified anytime that we drop some new content. Greg's got some great maximize minutes, so you can just get it in 1 minute. We've got some shorter content. We've got these longer episodes. So we want to just provide you the resources that are going to help you grow. So stay tuned, because there's lots more great content coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.